today as we come to the table.
Every possible opportunity for Pharaoh to repent was given to him. You can't say that God was not fair to Pharaoh, because he certainly refused to repent, although he saw God working in every possible way and gave him every chance for repentance. And the Bible says on Judgment Day that all will be without excuse. Everyone. Even those who hadn't heard the name of Jesus, the Bible says on Judgment Day, all will be without excuse. Can I explain that? I can't. But the Bible says no one's going to have an excuse on Judgment Day. And Pharaoh will certainly not have an excuse. Can you imagine him? No way. He saw this. He was living. It was right there. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord your God.
Pastor Mark tells you today that one day every person who has ever lived will have to stand before the Lord. They'll see God face to face, and it will be too late to make a decision to be saved by grace. At that point, no one will have an excuse. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. So what does that mean for you? If you have already given your life to Christ, you're saved. Now, go tell others about Him. And if you've been holding out, waiting to believe in the Lord, and it's time for you to wake up. You won't live forever. Your time will one day come to an end. So why wait? Listen today to Pastor Mark's teaching and decide if you want to follow Jesus and make that decision today. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 9 as he continues his message, The Plague of Hail.
I gave you my son. You were supposed to choose him and repent of your sin. That's your only hope. Depart from me, I never knew you. And the Bible says that many will say, Lord, Lord, did I not? He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And the Bible says they'll go into everlasting judgment. How horrible. How horrible that is. And so you got the whole group that, you know, fears God's word and doesn't fear God's word. We have them today. The word regarded, it's interesting. It says those who regarded the word of God or regarded what Moses had said. The word means to put something into place. It really comes with the idea of putting it where it needs to be, giving it a proper importance. In essence, what it's saying is those who put God's word in the place that it was supposed to be and said, you know what, we need to take this serious. It's not a game. We're not playing religion. We're going to take what God said in his word serious. He says those people are the ones who obeyed, and they were protected, their families and their kids and their animals. But those who didn't put God's word in the place that it was supposed to be, they were judged. And the same thing is true today, and the same thing is going to happen when it comes to those who stand before the Lord on that day if they don't receive him. Now it begins. Look at verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be hail in the land of Egypt on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. So let it begin. And it's not just going to be people that are wiped out. Notice this. It's also going to be all their crops, which again would affect them financially. The disaster would cost the country a lot of money in their budget. It would hurt them in their food supply. All these things. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. That is, a lightning is referred to as fire in Scripture. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt, so that there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. So lightning and hail just everywhere. So very heavy. Now, it doesn't give us the size. But when I look at the two comparisons of Revelation and what's going on in Egypt and the plagues, I wonder if it wasn't that whole talent size, 60 to 100 pounds, like it talks about to be in the last days. I don't know. But very heavy, whatever it was, heavy enough to kill people who were outside. Everybody outside was killed. Everybody. If you weren't in cover, you were killed in Egypt. Very heavy, that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Again, people no doubt scared to death. And I just think about this. You know, it was kind of scary that night when the hailstorm hit here, wasn't it? It's kind of scary. It's like, what, well, kind of freaky, man. It's like loud and the wind's whipping and everything's, you know, there's, I remember driving down the interstate that night. I had to go around to, the road was blocked off because trees had fallen down here. And I don't know, I was giving somebody a ride home or something. I don't remember exactly what was going on, but I had to go all the way to Pellissippi and go out. And there was like all these like just green, I don't know how to describe it other than all the leaves had been chopped up in little pieces. You guys probably saw that if you were out that night. And it hit this guy. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. All these leaves were crushed almost into mulch. It was like leaf mulch all over the road. Some of you guys saw that. Like you're driving in snow or slush. I'm like, this is wild. So I'm driving to Pellissippi, looking at the sky, and everything looked scary, not knowing that tornadoes were whipping. I was oblivious. I didn't know there was really danger around us. Found out the next day. But again, I just think of that little storm. And I say little because compared to this, it was nothing. You know, had it been the hail the size of what they're talking about, it would have crushed me in the car. So, amazing here. Human death toll, financial toll, everything. And it says, and the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all those in the field, both man and beast. The hail struck every herb of the field. There it is again. And broke every tree of the field. So branches broken off, the crops destroyed. Notice this, only in the land of Goshen. Who is in the land of Goshen? God's kids. Again, this whole picture of God making a clear distinction between those of the world and those that are his. God says, I'll protect those that are mine. Remember, we're not under the judgment of God. When God sends judgment, God makes a difference between his kids and the world. It doesn't mean we don't die from things that happen in the world. I'm not saying that. But when God sends his judgment, God makes a difference. And so he says, though only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were, there was no hail at all. Can you imagine Pharaoh, you know, finding it out that didn't have anything over there? And again, seeing this clear, distinct difference here. Man, this guy didn't get it. And he's going to pretend to. Notice verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I've sinned this time. What? What do you mean this time? What about the six times or seven times before? Really seven already, because the first time wasn't a plague. It was just the whole serpent thing. Remember? And then the plague started. So seven times before, he's already denied and get out of my face. I'm not going to do what God says and this kind of thing. He said, no, this time I've really sinned. No, you know, it doesn't go by your scale. You know, it goes by God's scale. God is perfect. We go by the word of God. God is our standard, not what we think. You know, we all have a standard of what we think. You know, well, I'm not as bad as that guy. How many of you ever heard that or said it maybe? I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as that guy. The Bible says that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Why? Because God's standard is perfection. And if I get around a whole bunch of people that are really bad all the time, I'm probably going to think I'm doing okay with God. Yeah, look at these guys. I'm not killing anybody. I'm not raping people. Those guys are. I'm doing all right. And God says, you still can't get in. Why? Because you're not perfect. Well, nobody can be perfect. That's why I gave my son. Now you've got to believe in him and let his perfection be upon you so you can enter the kingdom of God. And so that whole standard thing here, now he finally reaches his own standard. You know, even in the prisons, they have a standard. Have you ever done prison ministry, been around prison ministry? They have a standard in prison about the guys at different levels of sin, what's right and what's wrong and, you know, whatever. And, you know, and they have their own morality system in prison. It's amazing. Here these guys are in prison for all these things they've done, and then you have the good guys and the bad guys. Isn't that amazing? Everybody has their own standard. It depends on where that standard is. And so he says, this time, that even Pharaoh, he says, all right, I admit this time. You know, I've sinned. The Lord is righteous. And I and my people, we're wicked, he says here, you know. Again, we see Pharaoh now making another false confession. Not just a false confession, but note this, another false confession and false repentance, because he said this before. Okay, I'll let them go. I've done wrong and you guys can go. And then when things get better, what does he do? He goes right back to saying, oops, just kidding. He's going to do the same thing here. You know, he makes this false confession, this false repentance. Moses is going to see right through it. But I've met people like this over the years. I mean, when things are tough in their life, they say they've repented and they even make confessions. Well, I need to confess and I've not been living for God like I should. Now I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And they have almost like New Year's resolutions. And then when their life gets better, the bills start getting paid and the pain's not quite as much. It's like they go right back to how they were before. You ever seen people like that? As a pastor, I've seen it a lot. But deep in their heart, it's all fake. It means nothing. That's why, you know, tears don't impress me. You know, as a young pastor, tears impressed me. You know, somebody cried, I go, oh, man, they mean it. They're broken. And then I had one too many tears shed where it was a flat-out lie and was proven like just the next day. And I realized, you know what? There's a lot of actors out there. And tears really don't mean anything. You know what means something? Action. Words pretty much don't mean anything, because anybody can say anything. If they're good at faking it, they can say what they want. Here's what God wants to see. He wants to see action. What does it say in James? If you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, it does you no good. You got to be a hearer and a doer of the word of God, or it's worthless. And so Pharaoh was one of these hearers and sayers, but he wasn't doing anything. As soon as the trouble passes, we're going to see that Pharaoh's right back where he was. So notice what he says. All right, I'm ready to do this thing. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I've had it. This is really it. I'm at my end. I'm done here. I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. So he claims again, I've had it. I believe this time I'm going to let you go. You guys can really leave. We're going to see in just a minute again. He's lying. He's not going to let him go. He's not done. But you talk about, you know, basically he wanted to get out of the consequences, right? But there's no real change whatsoever. Get the consequences off of me, but there's no change in the life. But what's amazing to me here, you want to understand how bad this thunder was. The hail and the thunder that was going on here, really the thundering and the hail, he says here, he calls it mighty. Mighty thundering and hail. You know, I do my word studies and I flip through the words, you know, thinking most of the time I'm going to know, yeah, what that means, you know, whatever. It's good to do word studies because a lot of times the way they're translated is not what you think the word would be. You know what the word mighty is there? Elohim. Isn't that interesting? He's saying this God thunder and this God hail, this is freaking me out. It is huge. It is big. It's shaking the earth. This is God. It is supernatural. I'm freaked out. Stop it. I've had enough. I'm ready. Just deal with it. And so, you know, basically God thundering. And you think about what it would take for God to thunder from heaven. God could scare us to death if he wanted, couldn't he? You know what I mean? I've shared this story with you guys before, and it still haunts me. I wish I could take it back. Baby Christian, I'd just gotten saved and working with kids and how these kids I'm working with, you know, doing gymnastics and tumbling and basic things like that. And there's this one kid over there spitting in the other kid's shoes, just dropping big blobs of spit down there. And I'm young, I'm a baby Christian. I just kind of ran and went, "Hey, like, what are you doing?" And I mean, this kid freaked. And I'm like, what have I done? I've killed him. I mean, all these thoughts. I'm ruined for life. You know, I've yelled at some kid and now he's going to tell his parents. It was awful. It was a traumatic experience for me and the kid. We probably were both crying by the time it was done. But I'll never forget the terror in his face. And that's what haunts me. It haunts me. I think, wow, that kid looks back and here's this, you know, figure that he looks up to, this team, and yells. And it scared the kid to death. And of course, he was doing something wrong. And I'm sure God will, you know, work in his heart, and he knows he was wrong. That probably softens it some. But I mean, that just haunts me. But anyway, the point is, I think if you can scare a little kid by just, hey, you know, what would it be like God from heaven? Hey, you know. Yes, I was spitting in that shoe. Please forgive me, Lord, spitting in shoes. I'll never spit in shoes again as long as I live, Father. That's what this thunder was like. You know, the Bible talks about God's voice being like thunder. And whenever God would speak, it would be like thunder. Remember they said when Jesus was there and it said it thundered, Jesus said, the Father just spoke to me. He acknowledged that thunder was the voice of God because it was Passover time. It was a feast time. I think it was Passover, one of the feasts, but there was a time there wouldn't have been any rain or clouds. And there was thunder. And he said, the Father just said that so that you would know that he is acknowledging me. And I'm putting that in my own words. But the point was, if God wants to thunder and scare us, he can do that. And I'm glad he doesn't do that. But at the same time, it's interesting, you talk about, you know, the different, glad the God that we have. You know, the God of Islam is known as a practical joker. And which means he could do something supernatural to you just to freak you out. You know, that's part of their belief system. And I'm thinking, I'm so glad our God is not that way. You know, you're walking along at night trying to find a way through the woods and he puts a swimming pool there, you know. Angels, look at this. You know. Heaven's funniest videos next week, you know, and whatever. Pastor Mark, you know, walking through the woods. So stop the thunder. This is scary. Notice, so Moses said to him, all right, this is amazing, guys. Listen what Moses says. As soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands. The thunder will cease and there will be no more hail that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. He says right here that the thunder and hail were still going on. They were falling. And notice what he says. Stop it. Just cry out to your God and have him stop this. This is this God thunder, this God hail that's coming down. This is destroying our nation and this is scary and stop it. All right? I will. I'll ask God to stop it. But I'm going to wait till I walk out of town through it while it's falling around me. And then I'll cry out to God for it to stop when I'm out there as I look up to heaven with it falling around me, because I want you to know that there's a God in heaven that makes a difference between those in Egypt and those that are his. And while all of yours are dying by the hill, God will supernaturally protect me and put a wall around me as I go out and do it. He wasn't testing God. He was showing God's power. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. What's Pharaoh going to say? You know, Pharaoh wouldn't have the guts. Pharaoh, you want to walk with me? Come on, let's take a stroll. No way. No way. Moses says, I'm going. Watch this. I love it. I love it. I love God showing his power and doing all this and protecting him supernaturally. Pharaoh could not possibly deny God's supernatural intervention. And God is showing Pharaoh, I am God. I have power over all things. It's interesting. Isis was the god, not only the god of fertility, but supposedly the god of the air. And they believed in Isis and they worshiped Isis. And now as Isis falling from the sky, Moses, sorry, it's one of those nights. I'm sorry. This is not pre... People say, is that pre-planned? I say, could you really be that dumb in planning? I don't think so. It's just, it's natural dumb. All right. He's showing that Isis doesn't control the air. My God does. And I'm going to show that your God has no power. I'm going to walk right there. My God's going to have power over it. Your God couldn't stop all this, Pharaoh. Isis had no power here. My God can. My God's going to let me walk through the middle of what has killed everyone else that was outside. And I'm going to get outside the city, look up to heaven, raise up my hands and say, God, you can stop now. And he's going to stop. Wow, this is awesome. Every possible opportunity for Pharaoh to repent was given to him. You can't say that God was not fair to Pharaoh because he certainly refused to repent, although he saw God working in every possible way and gave him every chance for repentance. And the Bible says on Judgment Day that all will be without excuse. Everyone. Even those who hadn't heard the name of Jesus, the Bible says on Judgment Day, all will be without excuse. Can I explain that? I can't. But the Bible says no one's going to have an excuse on Judgment Day. And Pharaoh will certainly not have an excuse. Can you imagine him? No way. He saw this. He was living it. It was right there. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord your God. So it's not going to do any good, Pharaoh. You're telling me all this and you're pretending that it's going to, but I know it's not. It's not going to work. He says, now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head of the flax and the flax was in the bud. So they'd have different crops that came up at different times. By the way, somebody asked me last week, do we know the time period of this? Yes, because of what it tells us in the passage, we can pretty much kind of nail down. This was a 5 to 6 month period when all the plagues happened. All 10 plagues happened within about a 5 to 6 month period, just to give you a mindset there. And we actually know that actually this plague right here, the hail, happened right about now in February. This is about when the flax and the barley begin to come up. They haven't bloomed yet. They're not ready for harvest. But right now in Egypt, that's where they would come up and be there. So it was right around here in February. And then the flax and barley would actually fully bloom at the 1st of March. So it gives you an idea of the calendar of when this was happening. He says they were struck because the head and the flax were in the bud. But I love this. So there's a huge part of their crop and they're gone, their finances as well as their food. But look at God's mercy in 32. Although the nation is in rebellion, although Pharaoh's in rebellion, although they're rejecting the word of God and those who are outside didn't even believe him, look at God's grace and mercy in this, lest he be falsely accused. Verse 32, but the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they were late crops. God timed it in such a way that they would still have food. Look at God, isn't God gracious? Is I'm going to bring hard times and chastisement, but I'm not going to leave you without something on the shelves. You can eat, but I want you to feel the pain of your sin. I'm bringing chastisement in. I want it to bring you to a place of brokenness. So yeah, you're going to lose some crops right here. Yeah, you're going to lose some money right here. But I'm going to make sure that you're fed. I'm going to make sure there's something there. The later crops are going to come up, you know, the wheat, the spelt. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh. I love this. Spread his hands out to the Lord. And then, note that, then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. So there was rain, there was hail, there was thunder, all of it. And so, again, you would think, all right, now Pharaoh's going to, he's going to repent. You know, God brings the blessing on the good and the evil, and of course, with bringing their food and now giving Pharaoh another opportunity to repent. But Pharaoh, again, notice this, hardens his heart. Rather, his heart was already hard. Notice this. When Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder ceased, he sinned yet more. How revealing is this of the heart of man who rejects God? It's like now that the trouble's over with, I want to go and sin even more. You know, I'm out of trouble. You know, whew, all right, man, that's good. The cops didn't arrest me for DUI, man. Let's go get a beer. Whew, that was close. What? Hello? You know, it's like, are you? Do you see what just happened? You almost went to jail. You almost lost your license. You want to go out and party again and then drive home? But that's the heart of man. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Pharaoh's the same way. He saw that all the stuff had stopped. He sinned even more. And notice, he hardened his heart he and his servants, so they're even hardening their heart more, relentless to God. How could you reject God after this? And what a telling verse this last one is. Look at this. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Remember we saw last week, God had hardened it. Pharaoh made up his mind. God solidified that in Pharaoh's decision. And now it says, you know what? There's no turning back. It's hard. Your heart is hard. There's nothing I can do with it. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So there's a finality in this whole thing where Pharaoh's heart was growing hard. Then God solidified Pharaoh's heart in Pharaoh's decision, not God making him. And then the sad statement here at the very end, when he had so many chances and so many choices and so many options to where he just allowed his heart to become hard and it couldn't even be reached. How sad that is. Amazing. And it scares me when I see people, God just warning and warning and warning and showing over and over and just ignoring it and paying no attention to it. Well, next week, we're going to see God continues on with the eighth plague. This was the seventh. Look at the eighth plague, which is the plague of locusts. And boy, if you've ever seen a swarm of locusts, maybe on TV in the Middle East, it's an amazing thing. From this point on, again, it will not be to change Pharaoh's heart, for that's too late. It's going to be to change the heart of the other Egyptians that will listen. And note this, it will also be to force Pharaoh and those who refuse to listen to submit and let God's people go. In other words, if you won't do it of your own accord, I'm going to force you to obey. And what a sad place it is when God has to bring us to a place of forced obedience. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And so we either choose to do it now willingly or everyone ever born will one day bow. Think about that. The most staunch enemy of the Lord on TV or in books or whatever they've done, they will bow before the Lord. They will be forced to. And forced submission is not a good place to be, because when you're forced to submit to the Lord, it doesn't end good. That means you're simply forced to submit, and then the Bible says you're eternally separated from God. But if you willfully submit to the Lord now, that means you're in the kingdom forever. I know which one I have chosen, and most of you. But again, if you haven't made that choice, how much better to do it on your own and inherit heaven than to be forced to do it and have eternal judgment? Well, tonight was heavy. Heavy stuff, isn't it? You read this stuff, you're like, wow, 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 wow. You know, when a nation and a people get to a place where God has to deal this way, God will deal this way. You know, and this is a side of God that oftentimes doesn't get shared from the pulpit, you know. And I'm not talking about the hellfire and damnation preacher, you know, and the guy that's always preaching hell and everybody's getting yelled at and all that. No, but you know what? God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. And God is a God of grace. But God is also a God of judgment. And if we don't understand that, we don't share that, how are we going to be warning people, you know? And I see our nation just kind of really, again, ignoring God, you know, passing all these laws that just shake their fist in God's face. And how can the courts take prayer and the Bible out of schools when you got the Ten Commandments hanging over the Supreme Court bench? How hypocritical can we be as a nation? You know, nobody dares take that down yet. Because how can you say that was unconstitutional when our founding fathers put it up? And yet at some point they're going to have to, aren't they? I don't see how that can stay there. I mean, there's a lot of dilemmas that our nation is facing. As I said, my hope is that we break and we repent before it comes to this place. But the key for us is, let's make sure we're there, right? Let's make sure that we're broken, that we're repentant, that we're walking with the Lord. And then God says, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. I'll protect you. I'll watch over you. I love that psalm where David says, you know, God told David, you know, though 10,000 fall to your left and your right, he says, you will not be harmed. Going to protect you. And God is faithful to protect his kids. So just make sure you're one of them.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that he's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what he'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today. But Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.